Good morning, everyone. So today I'll be talking about how to find bugs and test device drivers using symbolic execution rather than expensive hardware. This is joint work with Asim Kadav and Mike Swift at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. So we've all heard that device driver reliability is important. Drivers with bugs crash computers every day, and people get frustrated. Because device drivers are critical to stability, it's clear that we need better drivers. Past research has examined ways of isolating, splitting, formalizing, sandboxing, rewriting, tolerating, and recovering device drivers. Unfortunately, these techniques have not been widely deployed, and the only common approaches remain driver testing and code review, both of which remove bugs and improve reliability. Unfortunately, these techniques are much more difficult than one might assume. So let's look at some reasons why. First, testing just one driver often requires dozens of distinct pieces of hardware. Consider the U1000 network driver, which supports the 37 distinct PCI devices shown here. Each device requires driver-specific functionality, and that results in branchy and hard-to-test code. These branches often control whether parts of the driver could ever execute with a given device. For example, some network cards use different types of cable. And this causes the driver to execute different code paths. Purchasing so many devices to test this code would cost thousands of dollars and be impractical. The point here is that testing device drivers like this one requires significant hardware resources, which leads to expensive testing. Testing error handling codes is also hard because most drivers do, in fact, work properly most of the time. Reviewing this code manually is also complex, as in the LP5523 LED driver shown here, which operates a chip that controls LEDs in embedded devices. Suppose in this example that the init LED call fails. In this case, control transfers to the LED classdev unregister function. The unregister function invokes the driver set brightness routine, which schedules a work queue. Unfortunately, the kernel panics. Who knows, maybe this LED controls the ones on the bomb. So the point here is that error handling is important, but it's difficult to do properly in drivers. Testing error handling code is hard because it requires an actual failure, and reviewing it is difficult because it requires detailed understanding of kernel and driver behavior, and it's often split across many driver and kernel functions. Kernel evolution also leads to difficulties. Open source operating systems like Linux have fluid driver kernel interfaces, and patches are necessary to keep everything up to date. Unfortunately, these patches can impact hundreds of drivers. This example patch removes flush scheduled work calls from all the network drivers in Linux. Testing patches like this is a nightmare because of the hardware requirements, over 200 in this example, so kernel developers must invest significant effort in patch review. Indeed, we found dozens of patches committed to the Linux kernel that include the phrase compile tested only. Thus, kernel evolution makes testing expensive because so many drivers need updating as a result. Now, let's look at how well existing approaches work by considering the effort they require and the kinds of bugs they find. First, formally specifying a driver and then generating a driver automatically avoids many kinds of bugs and guarantees a variety of correctness properties. But it's difficult to scale because thousands of drivers would need specifications. Standard testing and code review are the most commonly used approaches to improving driver reliability. It's unclear how these two strategies fare relative to one another, but they certainly find many types of bugs and require reasonable effort to employ. Static analysis tools, such as Microsoft's Static Driver Verifier and Coverity, are fast, easy, and they scale well. But the same approximations that make static analysis fast and scalable often cause it to miss certain types of bugs. Symbolic execution, for example, using CLI or S2E, can find many types of bugs, but it requires considerable developer effort. The goal of our work is to improve the simplicity and scalability of symbolic execution for device drivers with a project we call SimDrive. SimDrive is a device driver testing and validation tool for Linux and FreeBSD that aims to find many kinds of bugs. It doesn't require device hardware because it executes drivers using symbolic execution. Static analysis and code generation allow SimDrive to minimize driver testing effort. SimDrive also provides a test framework to interpose on the driver kernel boundary automatically and give developers a way to specify driver correctness properties. Finally, SimDrive supports many drivers and buses on both Linux and FreeBSD, all with relatively little effort. SimDrive has several key benefits. By simplifying driver testing, it makes writing high-quality code easier. It also helps developers without specialized hardware test drivers, allowing them to test patches themselves. So next, I'll present the goals we have for SimDrive and some additional background on symbolic execution. After that, we'll examine several key challenges that arose during SimDrive's development and the approaches we took to overcome them. Then we'll look at the results we achieved and establish whether SimDrive finds meaningful bugs and whether it's easy to use. Finally, we'll conclude. We have three primary goals for SimDrive. First, SimDrive must be able to find deep, meaningful bugs. For example, the diagram here shows two threads, one originating in the kernel and one from a device interrupt. We believe SimDrive must be able to find bugs that span multiple driver entry point invocations and those that involve correct pointer and object use, because these kinds of bugs are common. Second, SimDrive must allow developers to get useful results without significant effort, because otherwise the effort of using SimDrive would outweigh the benefit. Finally, SimDrive should allow patch testing that can find bugs in many classes of drivers. Modern operating systems support dozens of driver classes, as shown in the figure on the right. SimDrive must apply to any class of drivers to avoid introducing more development hurdles. To accomplish these goals, SimDrive must analyze multiple execution paths to find as many kinds of bugs as possible. It must also provide a device model of some kind, since otherwise it would be no easier than testing with real hardware. Finally, it must be able to check driver execution properties so developers can verify driver or patch correctness. Symbolic execution should be able to achieve these goals. It can execute multiple paths, it can provide a model for device behavior using symbolic data, and it can check properties symbolically. So let's next examine how it works. In this example, when the driver reads data into the variable x, symbolic execution supplies a symbol that represents any possible value. Using symbolic data eliminates the need for device hardware, which is a key benefit of SimDrive. So then, after comparing the symbol against the value 10, the underlying engine copies the entire running program for each path. On one path, the symbol stored in x is constrained to be less than 10, and along the other path, the symbol has the complementary constraint. Unfortunately, symbolic execution suffers from a problem called path explosion, in which paths continue to multiply and consume CPU time and memory. Symbolic execution also doesn't provide correctness guarantees. It won't tell developers whether the driver prints the right result, for example. Nevertheless, this approach is excellent for driver testing. Symbolic execution can execute multiple paths, provides a model for device behavior using symbolic data. And existing tools such as CLI can execute C code symbolically. Unfortunately, it does have some performance issues, which leaves us with work to do. So let's now look at the challenges of symbolic execution as they relate to device drivers. First, how can SimDrive avoid path explosion? Clearly, SimDrive can't explore every conceivable path through a device driver. Second, symbolic execution itself tells us nothing about driver correctness. A driver that prints hello world may be bug-free, but it won't initialize your network card. How can developers use symbolic execution to check for correct behavior? Finally, given that SimDrive must avoid path explosion, how can we nevertheless use it to test drivers thoroughly? Because of time constraints, we'll cover the first two challenges in detail and only briefly cover the third. So next, we'll look at an overview of SimDrive and discuss how SimDrive addresses these challenges. So, we target SimDrive at Linux and FreeBSD because operating system and driver source code is available, and we don't assume device availability. We'll fill in the gaps here as I describe the rest of the system. SimDrive builds on S2E, which executes an entire virtual machine along multiple paths when symbolic data is available. S2E supports symbolic data in any byte of memory, and it can schedule any available path to execute. The device driver under test executes within the virtual machine's kernel and communicates with optional test programs. The driver also interacts with symbolic hardware and a symbolic bus, which provide the symbolic data. But how does the developer know that the driver is executing correctly? And how does SimDrive avoid path explosion? We'll look at these problems next, starting with path explosion. The two most important cases of path explosion in drivers are initialization and loops. The first example is from the U1000 network driver initialization code. It's not possible to test most driver entry points unless the driver initializes successfully. To do this, SimDrive must find a real set of values that the hardware could return that lead to success. And in some drivers, thousands of branches depend on values read from the device. Loops are another problematic case. The second example here shows a loop in which the driver pulls the device, waiting for a specific value from it. This code is even worse because it may generate 1,000 additional paths, which all actually lead to the same result. The key point here is that problems like this are common in drivers, and SimDrive must provide special support for them. So to resolve this problem, SimDrive informs the symbolic execution engine of source-level driver information, so it can execute useful paths. The most interesting source-level features are loops and whether the driver's running successfully. To accomplish this, we added special invalid x86 opcodes for communication with the underlying engine. These opcodes must be inserted in the driver to notify SimDrive of the relevant code features. They can prioritize the current path to execute it more deeply. They can switch to some other promising path using the deprioritize opcode, or they can inform the engine that a loop is executing. So now, let's look specifically at driver initialization. We solve this using a technique called favor success scheduling that prioritizes successfully executing paths and ignores those leading to failure. Rather than asking developers to add opcodes to drivers manually, SimDrive instead generates calls to the opcodes at compile time. The engine then monitors driver and kernel function return values and uses this information to select which path to execute. For example, this code executes when driver functions return and deprioritizes failing paths. Without this mechanism, SimDrive might run a driver all day and still not find a path that leaves the driver in a useful state for testing. This approach clearly reduces the number of paths that SimDrive executes, allows developers to initialize drivers quickly, and requires no manual effort. The second half of SimDrive's solution is to avoid iterating loops. And as before, the key idea is to inform SimDrive of loops at runtime. Using the information that the statically generated opcode calls provide, SimDrive prioritizes loops that exit, prioritizes paths that exit loops quickly. Consider this instrumented polling loop, where the driver is waiting for the device. Here, the loop before call informs SimDrive that a loop is about to start. The loop body call tells SimDrive that the loop is about to iterate, so it should check whether it makes sense to continue executing that path. The loop after call means that the loop exited, so SimDrive should prioritize the path that executes it. Unfortunately, SimDrive can't bypass all loops so easily. Some loops read and process data, which may be too complex for the engine. In these cases, SimDrive warns the developer to supply an annotation, which is simply a preprocessor if-def statement that simplifies the code sufficiently for SimDrive to run it. Now, favor success scheduling is great for driving execution deeply, but it may miss some bugs. To address this, once execution reaches the desired part of the driver, the developer can activate what we call high coverage mode. High coverage mode uses an S2E provided heuristic, a path selection heuristic, that favors paths executing untouched code. It also automatically makes kernel function return values symbolic, as in this example. If a kernel function returns an integer, then high coverage mode forks one path with the original value and one with a negative symbolic error code. Functions returning pointers are similar, with one path for null and one for the original return value. High coverage mode is great for patch testing, since the developer can initialize the driver quickly using favor success and then test some deeper part of the driver more thoroughly using high coverage mode. To implement these solutions to path explosion, we wrote a static analysis and code generation tool called SimGen. This tool is based on SIL and creates the transform driver. SimDrive also includes an S2E plugin, which implements the favor success scheduling policy. The instrumentation provides this plugin with information it needs to help it execute loops quickly, or exit loops quickly, and favor successful paths. The next problem we'll address is how to specify and check for correct behavior. So why is this a problem? Well, Linux and FreeBSD, unfortunately, include few driver kernel interface checks, so developers would benefit from a way of specifying additional correctness properties outside the kernel. S2E can already detect crashes easily by reporting calls to the kernel's panic function, for example. But what about semantic bugs that result in incorrect behavior but no crash? For example, an older E1000 driver incorrectly calls netif carrier off and netif stop queue functions before calling register netdev. And this bug occasionally caused issues with the ifconfig tool. To solve this problem, developers need a way to verify kernel and driver pre and post conditions. To that end, SimDrive includes a set of checkers written in C to complement symbolic execution by specifying correctness properties. These checkers are essentially sophisticated assertions that developers can use to record and check runtime properties before and after any function call. This example checker is for the netdev carrier off function, and as a precondition, it asserts that registered netdev has been called. SimDrive also provides an API support library to simplify checker development by factoring out common functionality. But how does SimDrive know what checker to run and when? The key idea is to interpose on the driver kernel interface automatically using SimGen. SimGen inserts instrumentation before and after kernel and driver functions. When executing, this instrumentation invokes a test framework. The test framework is a kernel module that executes symbolically alongside the driver and both informs the instrumentation what checker to execute and provides the checker support library. This example instrumentation executes at the start and end of every driver function to find the appropriate checker. In this case, it finds the checker for PCI driver probe functions, because that's what this driver function is. Once found, the instrumentation invokes the checker. This approach allows developers to check driver and kernel function pre and post conditions automatically, and no code needs rewriting if the driver kernel interface changes. SimGen's instrumentation interposes on the driver kernel interface automatically by using static analysis and code generation, and it invokes a test framework to identify what checker to execute for a particular function. The test framework automatically stores a mapping between driver functions and the function's purpose, and it uses this information to report what checker to use to the instrumentation. The SimDrive support library simplifies checks for common properties, such as resource leaks, lock usage, and matched API calls. So let's now look briefly at some of the roughly 50 checkers that we implemented. The checkers we implemented were inspired by discussions on Linux driver mailing lists. SimDrive checkers work well for simple tasks, such as ensuring that the driver return values are correlated with the right events. They also check more complex properties, such as whether the driver correctly pairs allocators and deallocators. The important point here is that checkers can verify execution properties across entry points, they can track objects and pointers, and they can access all function parameters. However, checkers are limited to verifying driver properties, they're limited to verifying properties at the driver kernel interface, and they can't guarantee that the driver interacts with the device correctly. So next, we'll look at the results we achieved with SimDrive, and finally conclude. Earlier in the presentation, we discussed the three goals of SimDrive. Next, we'll present our bug finding and developer effort results. But because of time constraints, we'll not examine the patch testing effort results further. We tested SimDrive with 21 Linux and 5 FreeBSD device drivers that run on 5 buses and found 39 bugs. We reported 7 of the bugs to kernel developers of both operating systems. All those reported were confirmed as genuine, and 5 resulted in patches. At least 17 of the bugs we found in an older kernel were fixed independently. The remaining bugs were either from out-of-tree drivers, it was unclear whether they were fixed in the latest revision, or we haven't gotten around to reporting them yet. Full details are available at the address shown. We'll next look at an overview of the types of bugs we found with SimDrive. Using these results, we can ask some questions about whether SimDrive's design makes sense. So first, are checkers actually worth the effort? The third and fourth columns in this chart contrast the number of bugs found by checkers and by the kernel. This result shows that checkers effectively complement symbolic execution to find bugs. Second, do we need to check execution across multiple entry points? The last column shows bugs that occur only when the kernel executes several entry points in a sequence, such as memory leaks, and confirms that SimDrive's approach to monitoring execution across entry points is important. Finally, we needed a median of only one annotation per driver, with a maximum of 7, which demonstrates that we can find these bugs with low effort. We also examined the code coverage achieved for 11 of the tested drivers. For each driver, this chart shows the percentage of functions executed at all, as well as the basic block coverage achieved of the functions that were executed. The goal here is to achieve coverage comparable to testing on real hardware. The median of both of these numbers across all 11 drivers is greater than 80%. The reason these results aren't higher is that we didn't invoke every entry point of every driver. As a comparison, we ran the 8139 TOO network driver on real hardware and invoked all the same driver entry points here as we did when using SimDrive. The result was that we achieved better coverage with SimDrive, which shows that SimDrive can test drivers thoroughly. So let's next look at SimDrive's performance. We measured the length of time we spent executing each of these device drivers because the goal is to test every patch. To conduct this experiment, we loaded each driver, executed a workload, and then unloaded it, possibly several times, to test more entry points thoroughly. Some drivers took longer than necessary in our tests because our tests were generally unscripted. Others, such as the ENS1371 driver, created thousands of paths that SimDrive needed to evaluate, since it has many conditional statements that depend on hardware-supplied data. Without favor success scheduling, these drivers would likely execute forever and still have poor code coverage. Regardless, the median execution time here is about 25 minutes, making SimDrive fast enough to test drivers thoroughly, even at the end of development when the driver is already written, and suggests that SimDrive is fast enough to test any patch. So in conclusion, SimDrive can successfully test device drivers without hardware. It finds real bugs that kernel developers agree are worth patching, and by initializing drivers quickly, SimDrive facilitates driver patch testing. Finally, SimDrive supports two operating systems, which demonstrates its flexibility. In the future, we'd like to broaden SimDrive's approach to allow checking larger parts of the kernel. So thank you all for listening, and I'd now be happy to take questions.
Philip Levis, Stanford University. So you talked a bit about how you handle the path explosion problem just from branches. How do you handle this from interrupt interleaving, in the sense of interrupts could be firing at any point in your execution stream?
Yeah, right. I didn't talk about interrupts. Let me just briefly describe how we model those. SimDrive invokes the driver's interrupt handler every time the driver control transfers between the driver and the kernel. In principle, an interrupt could occur at any time, and this approach will miss bugs too as a result, because we don't model every interleaving, in other words. So by invoking the interrupt handler at these well-defined points, we don't really have a path explosion problem with it, because the number of times we execute it is just relatively low.
Yeah, I mean, definitely finding all bugs is almost impossible. Finding some bugs is awesome. So great work.
Christian Zamfir, EPFL, cool work. I have one question about your heuristic to go around loops. For instance, if you have multiple loops in a program, it may be that you want to go through some of them multiple times, not just take the shortest exit in order to reach deep paths. And I was wondering if you encountered this problem, or if not, whether there's any insight why in the kernel code it's not so much of a case.
Right. So the loops that SimDrive is most concerned with are those which iterate repeatedly as well as generate additional paths. So in the drivers that we evaluated, we haven't generally had problems with loops that do both of those things that are also necessary to execute. Most of the loops we found that generate states could be broken out of early. Now, the worst case example here is a checksum loop, where the driver reads the device firmware and then calculates a checksum over that data, and it won't allow the driver to proceed unless the checksum is correct. In those cases, we print an a warning message asking for an annotation. Now, you asked, do you need are there loops that generate paths that we would break out of early, but then by breaking out of them early, we would miss some bugs? Incorrectly right. Model behavior. We did not find that particular case, actually. It's certainly conceivable, I imagine, but yeah, it just hasn't come up.
Okay, thanks.
Kevin Walsh, Holy Cross. Could you clarify again why you favor not taking exit paths specifically during driver initialization? You mentioned the LED driver bug, which occurred only when the driver failed to initialize. It seems like if you were doing a shortest task first kind of scheduling, taking that analogy, you would want to favor following the failure paths first, because they're going to fail, and right. then you can discard that execution. Why do you favor the successful path?
Right. So the mechanism we have that found the bug at the beginning in the LP5523 LED driver, the mechanism we used there was the high coverage mode, which I only discussed briefly here. The idea here, the model of develop or the model of, the testing model that we're proposing here is to combine favor success scheduling to drive execution to the point of interest, and then use high coverage mode to test all those extra paths, all the error handling and so forth. Because the model in Linux development is there's a continuous stream of patches, and developers would usually benefit more from a way to test not the entire driver at once, but rather to just test a specific patch. And so that's where high coverage mode comes in. You could then test all of those error paths.
Hello, I'm Jonas Wagner from EPFL, and I wondered if your approach has false positives or whether it's strictly a under-approximating test generation approach, especially with regards to this high coverage mode that could probably introduce cases that would not be possible in the real operating system.
Right, false positives. Some false positives, you could have false positives because the checkers that we wrote were incorrect. There have been one thing you might consider a false positive is hardware dependence bugs. So that would be bugs from that would only manifest if the hardware was doing something unexpected. Let's see, what are their false positives? I guess we really strove to minimize false positives at all costs, I think. So we haven't really found much, like any. So they haven't really been an issue.
Thank you.